Rainmaker FM is brought to you by the Showrunner Podcasting Course, your step-by-step guide to developing, launching, and running a remarkable show. Registration for the course is open August 3rd through the 14th, 2015. Go to showrunnercourse.com to learn more. That's showrunnercourse.com.
Welcome to the Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready?
I know. Should we just put a note? Should I just record a quick note at the beginning? Hey, you know, we get part of what we're talking about today is a quote from Roman Mars. And
yeah, I would.
SH word.
I would do that, yeah. And we use it to quote him only, and that's it. And yeah, and we didn't want to mark it. You could even use that as a tiny lesson, if you will, because I mean that's kind of how I think of it, and probably you. Like, it's our own show; we can do what we want, but we also have to respect our audience. But it's not really respecting my show if, like, I'm going to bleep it all out or cut it all up, you know?
Yeah. And I don't feel we used it gratuitously either.
No, we didn't. We only used it in the shit hobby. Great job. It's exactly the verbatim quote. So,
all right, I'll record a real quick thing at the beginning. Wait, why don't we just record it right now together?
I'm still recording.
I am too. Can we use the explanation that we just had?
I think we probably can. It's funny. Everything we've done today has just been like, can we just use what we just had rather than redo it? Because we're still recording.
Well, it's real. I guess we could go back and make it formal. Hey, everybody, this is Jared, and I just want to let you know that in the middle of this episode, you know, I think it's better we just explained it in a real way. I bet we can find a way to chop that up.
I think so. Yeah, I think we can too. And I think it's good. I think it is a good lesson. I mean, it is your show, and you should be able to do what you want, but at the same time, you got to respect your audience.
Sweetness.
So, if they're like driving around in the car with kids, and because they always know that our shows are clean, then we should warn them. And I've actually heard that. I think I heard that once on Pat's show, because Pat's usually really clean, but his his guest once, and he just said that at the beginning.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody, to episode number 20 of the Showrunner Podcast. I'm your host, Jared Morris, VP of Rainmaker FM, and I'm joined, as always, by Johnny Naster, defender of humanity and hypothetical host of Smack the Entrepreneur. Johnny, it's wonderful to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks so much for allowing me to come on the show. It's going to be fun.
So this is a very interesting opening that we're doing, because we're actually recording the opening after recording the entire episode. And I wanted to give folks a little peek behind the curtain as to why. So for a while, you and I, as soon as we would get on Skype, we would start hitting record, just so that, you know, during our kind of pre-show process and we're planning it out, if we had a really good conversation, we would have it recorded. And we stopped doing that for a few weeks. And this time, as soon as both of us got on Skype, unbeknownst to the other, we both hit record. And while we have these four topics that we were going to choose from for this episode, while we were going over that, we kind of spontaneously just jumped into one of them and just decided to roll from there. And so that became the episode. We rolled into the listener question, the podcast recommendation. And that wouldn't have really happened if we hadn't been recording. And I guess what I want to point out with this opening is you can't always do this with a guest, although I think it's a good idea if you can. But certainly I think when you have co-hosts, a lot of times we get on here and some of the best conversations come when we're real relaxed at the beginning or at the end. Roll that tape the whole time. Because if you end up getting into something spontaneously without really planning it, that way you have it. And you don't, because, you know, we've had times where that's happened, and then we've tried to recreate it later when recording the quote-unquote episode, and it never comes out the same. So I just wanted to point out that it was totally spontaneous today. We didn't plan on that happening, but sometimes you get those little bits of, you know, kind of audio gold or conversation gold, and you wouldn't have had them if you weren't recording.
See, now people are going to be let down when they get to the conversation. They're like, well, I don't know if I'd call this gold.
Yeah, sure, I know. So it sounds like these guys just started talking randomly. And
and neither of them knew that they were recording. Wow. But you know what's really great now is that there was this outro done of this episode that is really gold. You're going to be really excited when you get there. And I wouldn't have known this if we hadn't done this in this backwards way.
That's
but
true.
So Jared just did the greatest outro to one of our episodes I think we've ever done.
Okay. So now if we let him down with the main topic, at least we can redeem it with the outro. All right. So yeah. So start recording from the beginning. That's the main idea.
See, now, this would be a great hobby, but it's also a really good job.
It's both. It is. It's both. It really is. All right. Speaking of which, let's go on to today's main topic.
They are going to take us off the air one of these days.
Yes, they are. Let's just get in as many good episodes as we can before that happens.
Oh.
All right, so we get to record an episode. I like all the ideas that you have here for episodes. I think each one could be its own episode.
Yeah, no, that's... Well, I wasn't sure if you would accept them all, but I said from my giant list of just like it was weird. I don't know why. Just like I have that notes app on my phone, and like every time somebody told me either of a show of theirs that I wanted to hear, or just something I wanted to remember, or somebody said something on stage, I was like just wrote down. I don't know who said all of them, but it was like going through. I'm like,
yeah. See, I don't know that I agree with the whole podcasting is a shit hobby, but a great job. But that would be a good discussion.
I mean.
Because I think it can be a great hobby that turns into a phenomenal job. It depends on if you love it.
See, yeah. I agree with him in the sense that, I mean, like, I'm doing four episodes a week now, right, between the two shows. Like, that would be a shitty hobby. You know what I mean? Like, if I kept Hack the Entrepreneur at one episode, I don't think it could have turned it into a job. And it would have been a good hobby. But...
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
When you scale, like, there was a point, like, around week six where I was told it's, like, either, like, this might be, like, the chance, like, where you can either just go all in on this, John, and it could work out really well, or else you can just keep moseying along, and it probably will just sort of stay where it is. So I went to three episodes, and it turned it into a job. But that would have sucked as a hobby. It's a lot of work, man.
Well, okay, you're right. I mean, it would have sucked as a hobby if you then had another job. Although, I mean, I guess, so where I think about that, where I contrast with it, I guess, is the assembly call, which is still basically a hobby. I mean, hopefully this year it turns into something that generates revenue. But during the season, that's doing 3-4 episodes a week where, but it is a hobby. And I guess it is shit in the sense that it's a lot of work and late nights, and I think about quitting it after every season.
You do, yes.
But I stay with it because I love it, which makes it an awesome hobby because I do love it and have gotten a lot out of it. And I don't quit because I love it so much because it's a hobby that's really more than a hobby but hasn't ever quite been a job but maybe could be. But I guess that's part part of why it's been successful is that I've treated it like more than a hobby, even though that's what it's been.
And so that's interesting because also, like, you're right. If I had a job, it would have been a shit hobby. But I also didn't have a job, so I couldn't just keep it as a shit hobby for only so long and putting so much effort into it, right?
Yeah.
At some point, I had to turn it into a job or else I had to create something else. It's just, it's how the nature of what I do is.
Okay, but how do we reconcile this? Because we always talk about how people need to love their topic. You know, it should be something that talk about for hours at a bar. And that's kind of what a hobby is. So I have trouble calling it a shit hobby when you're also saying it should be something that you do not just for the money, but that you love. How do you kind of reconcile those ideas?
You're not doing it just for the money. That's wrong. I don't think that's the discussion point. To me, it's the whole basis of the what he said and Roman said was that you have to absolutely value and take your audience 100% serious. And he was discussing this in the idea of like ads and creating ads that are only going to super value your audience, and that you're creating the ads to make them as good as the content, and that they, that your audience is going to get as much from the ads as they are from the content. And the reason why is because you need more ads, because it's a shit hobby. But you know what I mean? That was his whole thing. It was just, it was all about the audience. And I think sometimes when you are just thinking of it as a hobby, you don't take it serious enough. Therefore, you don't take your audience serious enough. And that stops it from ever possibly being a job.
I agree with that. All right, I do agree with that. I'm still not sure I like the descriptor of a shit hobby. But I agree. I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a catchy thing he said. Obviously, that was like, he said so many really impressive things to that whole thing, and that's all I wrote down. Because I was just like, man, that's awesome. And it was like, I wasn't like sitting there analyzing like, is this like totally right on all sides? No, it's a great like, a soundbite. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I would actually rather do the first one first if we could.
I mean, I've been recording. I figured
I've been recording too, actually.
Have you really? I thought we were going to tell each other when we were recording. Actually,
well, apparently not, Mr. Smack the Entrepreneur.
That's true. We never said that. We're allowed to record at any time.
Yeah, you clarified that yesterday. No, we're always recording.
Yeah, always recording. I mean, all right. So I guess I see that. And I definitely agree with the whole idea that you've got to take your audience seriously. And so even if it is a hobby, quote unquote, because it's not your job and you're not making money from it, you know, and you still have a full-time job, if you actually want it to grow, then you've got to treat it like a job in the sense of taking your schedule seriously, taking your audience seriously. You know, it's like act as if, right? If you ever want to quit your job to have this podcast, at some point you're going to have to treat your podcast like a job.
Horse before the cart.
Before it is your job.
Horse before the cart. Yeah. Yeah. People think that, I mean, well, how, you know what I mean? Like, you have to treat it like a job before it's a job, or else it won't ever just become a job. I mean, everybody that we saw give keynotes and stuff, I mean, they went all in. Either they had the ability because they didn't have jobs at the time and they were in between stuff. Like Mark Maron, and you know what I mean? Like those kind of things. He had years of experience of hard work and then just thought, oh, I can do this and turn this maybe, even without knowing it could turn into a job, but taking it super serious, like as serious as you would if a boss was watching over you, telling you that this isn't good enough, this shouldn't go out, that doesn't sound well when it's edited, that artwork looks terrible, that show notes are bad, that ad should not be in your show. It's like there's like you have producers and stuff. You need to treat it like this. Otherwise, it'll never happen like that, because you just like a producer doesn't step in and be like, oh, I want to work with this crappy show. It's like, no, they step in because they want to work with an amazing show that seems like it already has a producer.
And because your audience will take it as seriously as you take it. I mean,
yes,
legitimately, you know?
I mean, yeah. They can't take it more serious than you. They just can't. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's a big problem, especially if you set a precedent of taking it very seriously and then it starts to fall off, but people have been led to believe that you're taking it at a certain level of seriousness and they expect more from you.
That's, you know what's awesome then is that then they tell you.
They do.
I can never remember her name, but the lady from Girl on Guy.
Aisha Tyler.
Aisha Tyler, yes. And so she does everything herself still. And she's like, people on social media are like, where is the episode? It's supposed to be out. And she's just like,
yeah.
I have 62 jobs. You have none.
Yeah.
Or you have one. She's like, but she doesn't want to let go of it, which is a whole different discussion. But,
right.
But I mean, it's true. People expect it from her now. And they'll tell you, they will. People tell me actually when they don't like something that I've done. I showed you an email I got on the weekend. The guy just didn't like what I was doing and he thought I was of a better caliber. That's cool, right? Because I've upped it to that level. So when you do try and drop off.
And it's good when your audience feels like you're approachable enough that they can say that, when there's a real dialogue going. And that's because,
I send people to that guy's house. Just take care of that.
But, you know, he never would have cared enough to send you that if he didn't think that you cared about it. which, you know, which clearly you do. So,
right. I know.
It's interesting. But, why do we have the giggles today?
I don't know. Oh, man.
Because podcasting is fun. That's why.
Because podcasting is fun. Podcasting. It's a great hobby. I'm going to be Mr. Contradiction from now on.
Apparently so.
I'm going to start something like super strong on one side, and by the end of the conversation, I'm going to be totally on the other side, bashing my original points.
You're not taking this seriously.
No, actually, it was funny. I watched at some point in the last week, I watched an interview with Gary Vaynerchuk, and he actually... He did that in the interview, and then even pointed it out. He's like, I'm just trying to all this. My whole existence now is a contradiction. I will just try and contradict myself until all I'm trying to do is find like the truth and try and find out exactly who I am. And I can only do that by directly contradicting everything I say nonstop. I was like, that's amazing.
Wow.
I was like, that sounds crazy, but when I really think about it, that's amazing. That's an amazing thing. And he was right in the same interview. He was directly, so yeah, I didn't make that up. That was actually just stolen directly from Gary Vaynerchuk. Mm. So I am taking it serious. Why do you think I'm not taking it serious?
You're taking it seriously.
I take everything serious.
You know what I'm excited to take seriously?
What?
This week's listener question.
Nice.
You ready? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Johnny, do you know who this week's listener question is sponsored by? Can you guess? Do you have an inkling?
I'm really hoping it's the Showrunner podcasting course.
It'd be really foolish of us if it were not.
It would, yeah.
Considering the Showrunner podcasting course is open, it closes in 2 days from the day that this episode airs. So it closes on Friday, August 14th, and we just want to remind you that it's showrunnercourse.com and that by getting in now, you get everything forever. In the future, there's going to be a recurring price to maintain access to the community and ongoing education. Right now, it's all included, and so that is definitely the reason to go check it out. When you go to showrunnercourse.com, you'll see everything that's included. You will see really detailed testimonials from Showrunner course members telling you what they've gotten out of it, you know, so you can kind of see if there's stories in there that you relate with, a basic overview of our general podcasting philosophy, and then of course all the details for how to sign up. And we'd love to work with you. So go to showrunnercourse.com, check it out. And yeah, we'd love to work with you. Now, on to this week's listener question, which comes from iTunes. This is Sally J. Fox. She left this as an iTunes review, a 5-star iTunes review. Sally, we greatly appreciate it. Thank you for the kind words. And thank you for this question, which is, could you two open up to what kind of resources you use on the backside for post-production or support for the podcast, like staff or contractors or your neighbor? I don't use my neighbors. Johnny, I don't know if you do. I figure a Canadian might be a little bit more likely to use his neighbors than a Texan. But maybe not. I don't know. Just making that up.
perhaps.
So let's answer Sally's question. So obviously we're in a bit of a unique situation being part of Rainmaker FM because we do have access to some production help and a production team that a lot of our listeners don't have. And we do want to be clear about that. Now, we should also be clear that you and I have both built shows and run shows on the side where we don't have that access. So we know both sides of it. Through Rainmaker FM, we have access to the great Toby Lyles, who I know he edits The Lead. He edits... is he doing work for you on Hack the Entrepreneur?
No, I do my own.
Okay, you're doing
I don't do my own. Who am I kidding? I have somebody that does mine.
Right, yeah. The great Johnny Nasser is not going to get in there and edit in GarageBand anymore.
I used to think I was good. I go back and listen to my original episodes. They're not very good. I'm not very good at it. I'm just not very good at it.
No, I know. And we have started letting Toby. We've started requesting and really appreciating Toby's help in editing the Showrunner episodes. But I will be perfectly frank in that I don't like it. I don't like handing the Showrunner over to anybody. I don't like handing any of my shows over to anybody. I do it out of pure necessity because to run the shows I run and you know, maintain the responsibilities that I maintain in the day job and my other duties, I just don't have the bandwidth to edit to. But if I could, I would. So, you know, and it's one of those where, to me, I feel slightly disconnected from the content and the audience when I don't put the final finishing touch on it. I know not everybody feels that way. And in some ways, that can be kind of a self-defeating feeling because it can be inefficient and prevent me from doing other things. It's just how I feel. So just letting you know that. But Toby does edit the Showrunner. We do have a great team that helps us get the transcript together, that creates the social image for these shows. So for the Rainmaker FM shows, there's a team that does it. I know for my personal shows, like The Assembly Call, like Primality Primer, I'm pretty much doing all of it. No staff, no nothing. I do it all. Don't hire anybody. You know, maybe at some point that'll change, but I do it all. And we can get into some tools later. Any other kind of insight / overview for how you handle the post-production and production processes?
Yeah, sure. This is interesting because I didn't know the question beforehand, unfortunately. But so I'm trying to actually come up with a list. And I wonder if should I just say it all? Should I say exactly what I do?
Yeah.
It sounds when I have this list now, it sounds like I don't really do very much, but I'm just like running around trying to catch myself all the time. I seem like I'm doing way too much. So I have, but I still have a VA, a full-time VA. She works for me. And she helps with, so she finds guests for me, or at least finds lists of guests, potential guests. And then I say yes or no. And then she goes and gets them. Then she also does the rough draft of my show notes. Plus, I have a writer actually. Sorry, I have a writer as well that does my introductions for each episode, which become the beginning of my show notes. And that's the part I read as my introduction to my guest now. My VA then takes that intro, makes full show notes with bullet points and links, posts it to my site. And I have an editor that does the audio editing of all the episodes. And then I have DesignPickle.com do my artwork now. They've been doing my artwork for, they're like, I think $200 a month or something, and they do unlimited artwork for you, which is amazing. I mean, it's amazing for me because I need a lot of artwork because I have a lot of episodes. Plus, they're going back through like my 100 episodes and redoing all my artwork up to their standard, which is really, really awesome. And then my VA will take that artwork from them and post it to my article. And I think that's it. Yeah. So it's quite a bit. But they're all, and they all seemed at the time when I went, but I mean, I got lucky. I got a sponsor early on, right? And I said when I got that first sponsor that all that money I was willing to just spend it to be able to do the show better, but not necessarily with less work, but then not necessarily with less work for me, but just better. Like the editing is better. The artwork I used to do myself on Canva, the artwork now is better. The writing of the introductions, I used to do it and it was good. I came up with the format, it was okay, but now I have a writer who's really good at it and does great research, better research than I did. Because sometimes I was running and scrambled and I'd go to do an intro quickly so I could record it, and it was just getting, it was losing quality. So I just had to outsource it to someone else. So that was how I did it, and that's why I've kind of built up people around me now to help do all of that.
Well, and it's a very appropriate bow that you're kind of tying on this discussion, because this gets right back to what we talked to in the main part of the episode, which is treating it like a job, you know, taking it really seriously. And that's what you're describing is, you know, you want to improve the quality of your images and the quality of this, that, and the other. And you hired people who were better at it than you. You invested your resources in your show getting better. And it's another reason why Hack the Entrepreneur has continued to grow. And I appreciate that example because it's something I know I need to start doing with my other shows. And I, you know, we talk a lot about content and focus on the content, focus on the audience, which is all very true. But at some point you also, you know, to do that, part of doing that is focusing on your systems, focusing on your quality, focusing on all of this. I know with the Assembly Call, you know, we got a design on from 99 Designs, you know, to finally get official branding, get an official logo. And I know for me, that's the next step with those shows, is to basically take the steps that you've taken here, get more systems, get more people around the shows doing things that I am not as good at doing them better. So, and it's great when you can get to that position. So Sally.
Yeah, it's hard though. And like you said with the, I don't mean to drag this on really long, but it's a great question. It really, really is.
It is.
It should have been an episode probably before. So thanks for finally bringing it to our attention, Sally. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's one of those things, right? Where, I mean, if you don't take it that serious and then, but it's just, it's hard to get rid of these tasks. Like, it's hard to let go. Mm-hmm. Like you said, with the editing, right? But I mean, it was super hard for me to let go of artwork. I'm horrible at artwork, but still I can do it better than anyone. Or else it was easier for me to just go do it. It was like, it takes 10 minutes for me to do it, right? So I should just do it, because why spend $200 when it's just 10 minutes each time? But it's like, well, I'm doing 3 episodes a week. I'm doing 12 a month, and they're not that good that I'm doing this. So it's just one of those things that it was just kind of like, I just have to let go of it. And I think you probably have to get comfortable with that with Toby, because Toby is, I mean, him and his company are amazing at audio editing. They do brilliant work and fast and just so great to work with that. I mean, it's hard to say that it's not better for the show, because it is.
It is.
But it is, it's hard for us to let go of these things. It's our thing that we've created, right? Mm-hmm. But it is something. It's not just the money. Like, that's the first step, obviously, is finding the money from the show to pay for these things. But then once you do that, there still is that whole extra step where you're not going to want to let go of them. Or you're going to half let go of them and not let the person actually do their job properly. But that's a whole nother management discussion.
Yeah,
that is also hard.
It's primility, Johnny. It's having pride in what you're creating, but the humility to understand that you can't always do it yourself and you need help. And there's people who are better at things than you are. So
I wish I could
my own advice.
Bump you with this red wristband I have on right now, but we're not on video, so.
We're not. next time we're hanging out. We'll do the wrist bump. All right. Let's do some podcast recommendations.
All right.
So my podcast recommendation for this week is 6 Pixels of Separation by Mitch Joel, specifically the episode that he did with Michael Port, which we will put in the show notes. And this was actually recommended to me by Chris Handy, one of the members of the Showrunner Podcasting Course, who runs togo.fm, a podcast network for growth marketers. Highly recommend his stuff. But I highly recommend this episode of 6 Pixels of Separation for anybody who is going to be presenting an idea, not just presenting on a stage, but presenting in any way. And podcasting, show running, it's about presenting. Every time you get behind the microphone, you're presenting your ideas to an audience. And it may be an audience of one, and you may be doing it in the privacy of your own studio, but eventually people are going to hear those ideas. And what Mitch and Michael talk about in this episode is applicable for any type of presentation, any type of idea that you're trying to present. It's full of great tips, great ideas, and so I recommend that show because it will help you get better at presenting your ideas confidently and competently.
All right, my podcast recommendation just changed live on the air.
We need like a little breaking news.
No, like the show is the same, but there's a new episode that just came out just right now, which is awesome. So 99% Invisible, I'm going to say, Roman Mars.
Nice.
The discussion we had in the main topic is based around his keynote presentation that he did at the Podcast Movement, and he has a brilliant show. It's at 175 episodes now. Really, you could start at any one you wanted to, but a new one just came out today called The Sunshine Hotel, and that's my recommendation for the day. Start there and check out. This is somebody who's literally taken it from a terrible hobby to a great job.
Very nice. Very nice. And once you're done checking out those episodes, of course, make sure that you check out showrunnercourse.com. See everything that is inside the course. And remember, there are only a few days left to get the course if you're listening to this episode on the day that it comes out. If you're listening a day or two after, there may only be hours left to get in. And we're not exactly sure when we're going to reopen the course again. So go to showrunnercourse.com. Registration ends Friday, August 14th. We would love to work with you and help you develop, launch, and run your remarkable show. So get in there, check it out. And that's all I got.
Yes. It was a great ending. I liked it.
Oh, thank you.
That was good. It was a good call to action. It was solid. You trailed off a bit at the end, but that's okay. It was good. Because the opening of the chorus is trailing off. So it really kind of brought a full circle. It was good.
I mean, I thought about outsourcing the ending, you know, because I don't know if I have time to do these anymore.
We'll get one of those infomercial guys to come on and do like the big ending for us. That'd be amazing.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
We need to get the movie trailer guy. To do the showrunner course.
Ooh, that would be cool too.
In a world of on-demand audio content, you need a course to teach you the step-by-step system for developing, launching, and running a remarkable show.
And we no longer need him. That was awesome. That now goes at the end of every episode.
It's going to have to.
Wow. So this episode is going to be a hard one for Toby to edit. Sorry, Toby.
Nah, he'll get it.
I didn't even know when we actually started it, or if we started.
No. We still have to do the start. We have to do the opening.